Welcome to worship at Holy Trinity Anglican Church. We're so glad that you're able to join us by Facebook Live. Please hit the like button to let us know that you are with us. And please feel free to like, to share, and to comment. We'd also love to pray with you. Please share your prayer requests with us in the comments or by emailing us at holytrinityanglicansa.com. And now a word about virtual community and spiritual communion. This time of disruption, uncertainty, and physical distancing has challenged us all in many ways. As a parish, we've been challenged to explore more deeply our theology and practice of community and of communion. We've maintained a degree of community through weekly online gatherings via Zoom for fellowship and for a book study. While Zoom has many limitations, it has also allowed us to include our friends who live outside of San Antonio or who otherwise would be unable to join us physically. We hope that you'll consider being a part of our community during the season, wherever you may live. We've also maintained the celebration of the Eucharist as our principal Sunday service. As Anglicans, we hold tightly to a view of both the spiritual and the physical presence of Christ in the body and the blood. We also hold loosely our understanding and our
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, the spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who can do no good thing apart from you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson begins in the ninth verse of the ninth chapter of the book of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 145, and we'll read verses 1 through 13 by half verse. I will magnify you, O God, my King.
And I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day will I give thanks to you.
and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised.
There is no end of his greatness.
One generation shall praise your works to another,
and shall declare your power.
As for me, I will be talking of the glorious splendor of your majesty,
and of all your wondrous works.
They shall speak of the might of your marvelous acts.
And I also will tell of your greatness.
The remembrance of your abundant goodness shall they proclaim.
And they shall sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful,
long-suffering and of great kindness.
The Lord is loving to everyone,
and his mercy is over all his works.
All your works praise you, O Lord,
and your faithful servants give thanks to you.
They speak of the glory of your kingdom,
and talk of your power,
that your power may be known to the children of men,
even the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion endures throughout all ages.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second lesson begins in the 21st verse of the 7th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sin, full flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel hymn is hymn number 353, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord.
Oh,
Now hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Have you ever looked forward to something? Something spectacular, something life-changing? Something that once this happens, everything will be good and right and perfect. Perhaps you've gone through the once eyes. Once I get that new job, once I get that promotion, once I get married, once I retire, once I. And then the once I comes. And invariably the reality of the once I is different from the expectation we have created in our mind. Perhaps you've even been the source of the once the new boss comes hope. I've been that disappointment more than once. You know, Jesus was a pretty disappointing Messiah. Our gospel reading today comes in the middle of Matthew's narrative between Jesus' discourse describing the apostolic mission of the kingdom, which we finished discussing last week, in the next discourse on the nature of the kingdom, the parables that will start next week. And the 11th chapter of Matthew begins with Matthew's typical conclusion of a section of discourse. When Jesus had finished speaking, and then following this description, or this ending, a description of the ministry, he went on to preach and to teach in the towns. And then the disappointments begin. John the Baptist, the prophet in the wilderness, the forerunner, the new Elijah, the greatest of those born among women, Jesus' own cousin, sends word from Herod's prison. Are you really the one we're waiting for? Perhaps there's even an undertone of, if you are really the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the one who restores the throne of David, why am I in the prison of an usurper king? Jesus responds, look at the kingdom manifest before you. Look, the blind see, the lame walk, the leper is cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news has come to the poor. Blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Just look, look, this is the kingdom. There is no more waiting. Then Jesus turns to the crowd and challenges their fickle expectations. You are like children in the marketplace. You hear music and you won't dance. You hear wailing and you won't mourn. John came fasting and refusing wine. You said he had a demon. And the Son of Man comes eating and drinking. You call him a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus looks out to the cities where he's been working, where the kingdom has been manifest in power. And they refuse to turn from the kingdom of this world and rejoice in the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, Jesus is a very disappointing Messiah. So what does he do? Perhaps a change in strategy or messaging. Maybe he could get on Twitter or Facebook, revise his social media presence. Maybe a little polling or some market research so he can give the people what they want. Maybe he could just give up and quit, go back to the shop and be a carpenter. Obviously, all the metrics that count regarding ministry and Messiah, all the things that people want and expect, show him to be failing miserably. Maybe those words of the devil in the wilderness taught him. If you really are the Son of God. I think this really was a struggle for Jesus. This is the fully human part of the incarnation. This is how we can hear in the letter to the Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. This is the struggle and the temptation that we face. Do we measure our success according to the kingdoms of this world or according to the kingdom of God? Do we work in the ways of this world or do we work in the ways of God? Do we find our identity in our work, our status, our family, our success, our achievement? Or do we find our identity in the love of God? Let's look at how Jesus does respond. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. No matter how frustrating, annoying, or disappointing, no matter how mean, derisive, disrespectful, and arrogant people around us can be, it is God, the Father, who is Lord of heaven and earth. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. The wisdom and measures of this world pale in comparison to the kingdom of heaven. Paul follows this theme as he writes to the church in Corinth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I thwart. Who is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness stronger than human strength. Jesus goes on to prayerfully affirm his identity. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Jesus refuses to let any of those who challenge him or question him, or even those who laud and praise him, define who he is. Only God the Father defines who the Son is. How powerful is this for us as beloved children of God in Christ? No one knows me, no one defines me, no one and no thing in this world determines my worth or value, only God the Father. Friends, this is the glory of being baptized into the name, the identity, the power, and the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus then continues his prayer with an affirmation of his mission to reveal and manifest the kingdom of heaven. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Let this be a reminder to us that an encounter with Christ will often challenge our expectations and our very concept of who God is. Our theology will be challenged by an encounter with the living God. Jesus concludes with the how he is to go about revealing and manifesting the kingdom of heaven among this hard-hearted and disobedient people. Jesus says, so come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what perfect imagery. Jesus uses the image of the yoke, a symbol of both slavery and of Torah, a symbol that describes the oppression of Rome, as well as the oppressive way that the law of God is twisted in order to lay heavy burdens upon the people. The Messiah indeed will be a disappointment as he brings salvation from Rome and from the religious elite. Listen carefully to what Jesus says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you some good advice on managing your time and increasing your productivity. I will give you 3 easy steps to please God and everyone around you. I will give you volunteers to accomplish all that you want to do. No, Jesus does not promise solutions. Jesus promises rest. Think for a moment about the burdens, the heavy loads, the expectations, the disappointments, the fears, the hurts, the insecurity, the bitterness, the anger, and the grief that we carry around. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How small and insignificant do all these things that weigh us down seem compared to the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We take the yoke of Christ as we release our burdens to him, as we take on the mission of the kingdom, working alongside the one to whom all power on heaven and earth is given. What rest it is to realize that it's not my kingdom to build. We take on the yoke of Christ as we allow our expectations to be expectations of the kingdom of heaven, as we let our identity to be defined by Christ and not by the world. We take on the yoke of Christ as we respond in love instead of anger, in healing instead of condemnation, in faith instead of fear. I'd love to tell you this is easy and without frustration or challenge. We're always tempted and drawn by the kingdoms of the world. How do we resist? I'll offer you 2 ways that my heart is turned from the world to the kingdom of heaven. First, I find the Psalms to be the invitation to my heart to take up the yoke of Christ and find rest for my soul. From the great Psalms of praise, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. To the Psalms of lament, how long, O Lord, will you leave me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? To the Psalms of contrition, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. To the imprecatory Psalms, the Psalms that express our anger at the people around us, in a healthy way before God and not a destructive way on Facebook or Twitter or even an email or harsh words to one another. Those psalms that say, may his days be few, may another take his office, may his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. I've yet to find a burden that the psalms do not invite me to take before God. The Psalms have a way of resetting my expectations, turning my heart toward God, turning my heart toward rest and peace. The second way my heart is turned from the world to the kingdom of heaven is at this table each week. Coming to this table is important in exchanging my vision of kingdom for Christ's vision of the kingdom. This table, I am not disappointed. This is the place where earth is lifted to heaven and we feast at the banquet table of the King. My soul is fed in ways that I cannot describe or understand. May we all come to this table today in spirit and in truth and find rest for our souls. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us stand and confess what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Friends, let us pray for the world, for each other, for ourselves, and for the church, saying, hear our prayer. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being and unity of the people of God, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For Henry, our Archbishop, and Felix, our Bishop, Celestine and Scott, our Bishop's Suffragan, and for all the clergy and people of our diocese and congregation, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, and for all who teach and disciple others, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for their faith, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For our nation, for those in authority, and for all in public service, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And for all those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially Tommy, Jane, Joe, Deborah, Linda, John. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who have departed this life in the certain hope of the resurrection, in thanksgiving let us pray. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, grant these our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray now also for the forgiveness of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with your spirit.
Now let us remember that the offering acceptable to God is a broken and contrite heart, as we bring forth our tithes and our offerings. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is just and right so to do.
It is just, right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is your living word from before time and for all ages. By him you created all things, and by him you make all things new. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death we might be saved. By his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. As our great high priest, he ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. And on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify us also that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament, be made one body with him so that he may dwell in us and we in him. And bring us with all your saints into the fullness of your heavenly kingdom where we shall see our Lord face to face. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed once for all upon the cross.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Alleluia.
Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. Apart from your grace, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, who always delights in showing mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood.
sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him,
and he in us. Amen.
The gifts of God are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on them in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Our recessional hymn is hymn number 478, I Love to Tell the Story.